Number 79 from May of 2011, Twitter account. The kids in confirmation class are forever talking about texting, tweeting, and twittering. I'm so far in the dark ages that I barely know what they were talking about. I was hopeful that the Lord would take me before I had to learn all of this, but you never know. But the only kind of tweeting and twittering I know much about is from actual birds that are making a nuisance of themselves right outside my bedroom window. If it seems like I've talked to you before about being plagued by critters out here in the country, it's only because I have. I thought that perhaps I was done with animal problems after the episodes with the marauding dogs, the plague of flies, the indomitable chipmunk, and the flightless goose, but now comes a new threat to my tranquility. We are besieged by starlings. Starlings are a tough, aggressive, and raucous little bird that has become a major nuisance. They are not native to North America, but have become numerous since their introduction in the early 1890s. A man named Eugene Scheffland loved the works of William Shakespeare and thought America should have all of the species of birds mentioned in his writings, so he brought 100 starlings to this country and turned them loose in Central Park in New York City. That little Garden of Eden home led to the mess that we have today with starlings. Starlings may be the most hated bird in America. Airports have dubbed them feathered bullets for their interference with air traffic. They have a nerve-wracking call that sounds like a legion of off-key flute players. They are a dirty bird and have whitewashed the brick on my house in several spots. But it is even worse than that. These invaders have now pushed up the aluminum panels of the soffit under the eaves of our house so that they can use this overhang as a lovely place to build their nests. Now we can hear them scratching, fluttering, and cackling right over our heads outside the window. I have resorted to using stiff wire hooks weighed down with rock to hold the aluminum panels down so that they can't push them up. I really don't think this will stop them in the long run, but we'll see. My father always hated starlings on the farm. He said that all they were good for was to splatter all the machinery and hay and sit in the feed bunks and spread disease. He said they were dirty as sin. Come to think of it, starlings and sin are a lot alike. Just like starlings were not native to North America, sin was not native to human beings either. The first man and the first woman were created without sin, and everything was perfect. But once sin was introduced, it took off like wildfire. Now, everywhere you turn, you can see a flock of sins messing everything up. Sin is like starlings personally for us as well. We may start out with just a little resistance against God here and there, and soon it grows to open rebellion and a loss of relationship entirely. A little selfishness grows into total self-absorption. A little irritation grows into a deep resentment. A slight romancing of the truth grows into some big fat lies. Some innocent procrastinating becomes laziness. A desire for pleasure becomes a raging addiction. The subtlety of sin is that it always starts out somewhat innocently and insignificantly, like a few pairs of starlings turned loose in a park, but soon covers the whole landscape. The good news is that just as starlings entered the new world through one man, and sin entered the world through one man, so salvation entered the world through one man, the man Jesus Christ. Our lives may be dirty as sin, but that is all washed clean by the blood of the Lamb on the cross. I'm only hoping to be rid of my starling problem, but through Christ, I am sure of how to be rid of my sin problem, and that's good enough.